Your friends, in Jesus Christ, the story is told of a father and his 6-year-old son who are traveling home relatively late at night in rural northwest Iowa. And their car breaks down just 3.5 miles away from home. Mom and the younger siblings are already in bed. And so father and son decide that they're going to make the rest of the journey home on foot, just 3.5 miles. And as they do so, the father tells his very tired, hungry, and grimy young child that they'll soon be home. And he tells him, too, that there's going to be a nice shower, there's going to be fresh clothes, and maybe even a late-night meal that will be waiting for them as his reward. The child believes his father, takes him at his word. But along the way, the father also does certain things to help strengthen the belief of his son. For example, from time to time, he stops and he lets the little 6-year-old rest. At other times, he offers his son small amounts of food that they had taken with them from the car. There's not yet a full shower or meal. They're not yet home, but in the darkness and in this late evening hour, you do what you can. And the father is making himself thoroughly believable. And the son is being refreshed, strengthened, nourished to carry on. In much the same way, God does something very similar for us through the use of the sacraments. Through both baptism and the Lord's Supper, God nourishes and strengthens our faith. The sacraments don't save us, but they point to something far greater. They help us to see more clearly the promise of the gospel. They help us to see that what the good news is all about. The good news of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Now, because we serve an almighty holy God, we know, of course, that he can use any types of means necessary to bring a person into a saving knowledge of himself. In other words, God can, and he often does, use a variety of ways to bring his grace into each one of our lives. For example, God can use a kind word spoken to a visitor at church to reveal himself to that person. God can use the gentle touch of one's hand to a grieving parent to be a channel of peace. Sometimes God uses a wedding feast. I've been part of more than a few weddings that turn out to be wonderful testimonies of faith to non-believing family members and friends. Probably even more often, God will also use a funeral to bring people to himself. At a funeral, he reminds us that we're not in control, that our earthly lives won't last forever. Sometimes God will use the gift of money as a means of grace. More often than not, it's the lack of money that leads people to turn to him. Sometimes God will use a miraculous healing, such as what we often witness in the New Testament. But even more often, it's the lack of health that leads people to see that God is the only one who can provide true hope and comfort. The simple point is this: God can use any means necessary to create faith in our hearts. And through the work of his Spirit, God can and he does do mighty things. But at the center of each one of those means, there's always one thing that's constant. And that's the truth of God's word. Saving faith comes from God. God gives saving faith to his children by means of his word and his spirit. And And he then strengthens that faith through the means of the sacraments. You know, it's not hard for us to acknowledge that we don't all come to faith by the same route. Paul's Damascus Road experience is much different than young Timothy's journey to faith. My personal coming to faith story is going to be much different than many of yours. Yours is going to be much different than the person sitting next to you. If asked why we believe in God, in Jesus Christ, and in the Bible, perhaps many of us here today might be tempted to say, because I was brought up that way. I've always believed it. And while faith is certainly covenantal, and while we can certainly learn more about Christianity itself by imitating it, I pray that our faith is also deeper than that. There has to come a time in which we believe what we do, not because we were born into it, because we received and accepted it for our own. In his classic book, Comfort and Joy, Andrew Kuyvenhoven writes, "Faith, a lot like love, is intensely personal." Intensely personal. By his Spirit and through his word, God gives us personal trust in Jesus Christ. He also expects us to be biblically critical of the faith we inherit. Our biblical checking of the faith of our mothers and fathers is even more important than an unquestioning loyalty to those who taught us in Christ. In other words, it's important that we own our faith. We own it not because this is what our parents and teachers taught us to believe, but because we accept it as God's truth. A truth that makes a radical difference in the way we live our lives. Now, we don't doubt that God can, and he often does, do his work in his children anytime and anywhere. And we also know that there's one place that he's always doing his work. That's in his church. The church is God's workshop, where he's constantly shaping and forming us into the kind of people he called us to be. In other words, he's chiseling away at us. And when I use the word church here, I'm not just talking about when a congregation officially gathers together for worship and an ordained pastor is preaching the word. As important as Sunday morning is, it's not only during Sunday worship services that God is creating and strengthening faith through his church. When we say that the church is God's workshop, we mean the full community of believers that are helping each other grow in their faith. It's the type of activity that takes place during a men's or a woman's Bible study. It's the type of activity taking place when a youth group meets together or church members go out on a service project. It's the type of activity that takes place when we're deliberately living out our promises to our covenant children. And so when we celebrate a baptism in our church like we're doing this morning, one of the things that we're promising to do is to receive those being baptized in love, to pray for them, to encourage them, to help instruct them in their faith, and then to walk alongside them and to sustain them throughout their life. And it's a promise that we don't take lightly. The church is where God's children are born and nourished. It's the household of God. It's the bride of Christ. And it's the place that we're most often exposed to the tools that God uses in his workshop. The word and the sacraments. Earlier we read the catechism. And our catechism reading today tells us that the Holy Spirit produces faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. And yet notice, we don't say the same thing about the sacraments. We don't say the same thing because the sacraments, whether it be baptism or whether it be the Lord's Supper, doesn't produce faith in us, but rather confirms or strengthens the faith that's already present. The sacraments don't produce faith, they nourish it. One of the reasons the sacraments are for believers only, while the word is for both believers and unbelievers. But what are the sacraments? What are they? Webster tells us that the word sacrament is a Latin word that means a holy thing with a hidden meaning. A holy thing with a hidden meaning. Our catechism teaches that sacraments are holy signs and seals to make us understand more clearly that the promise of the gospel. Holy signs and seals. Think about that. Signs are generally something that give us direction. They point the way to a certain place. They help us understand things more clearly. If you want to find a hospital in a big city, all you have to do is follow the blue hospital sign that will point you in the right direction. And in the same way, the sacraments are signs that point us to the promise of the gospel. Seals are things that often help us to know that something is genuine, not false. The seals have a way of assuring or guaranteeing us that something is authentic. Our money currency has a certain seal on it that proves that particular dollar bill is not a counterfeit. It provides assurance. This dollar bill is real. It's authentic. And in the same way, the sacraments assure us that God's gospel promise is genuine. It's real. It's authentic. They assure us that Christ's death on the cross has truly happened. They assure us that Christ is risen indeed. Which leads us to the gospel promise itself. What is God's gospel promise that these sacraments point us to and assure us of? Well, it's none other than the very core message of the Bible. The message that our entire salvation rests on Christ's one sacrifice for us on the cross. Christ has died for us and he has risen. And through his death and resurrection, he offers us forgiveness of sin. And he grants eternal life to all who believe in him. That's the good news. The sacraments point us to, they assure us of, the most important truth in all of Scripture. That God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Now again, we know that the sacraments in and of themselves don't save us. Little infants such as Garrett, who are baptized, don't automatically receive salvation simply by having the water of baptism sprinkled upon their head. Then why does God give these sacraments to us? What's their purpose? What do they do and what are they for? Well, let's go back to the beginning of this little meditation. Answer 66 of our catechism says that they were instituted by God so that by our use of them, he might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel, and he might put his seal on that promise. The sacraments help us understand more clearly. In other words, God is showing compassion with our human frailty. He knows that we're pretty slow learners. He knows that we're quite stubborn, self-centered. The sacraments are special measures of teaching and reminding us of God's saving grace through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so when we see the water of baptism being poured, we're visually reminded of the washing away of our sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper together, our faith is nourished as we remember Christ's crucified body and his shed blood. The sacraments help to confirm and strengthen our faith. When that little boy in our opening story heard the promises of his father, that they would soon be home to enjoy a good meal and a hot shower, the young boy believed his father. And when his father took the time to allow his son to rest on the journey, and when he gave his son some snacks and drinks along the way, that boy's trust in his father grew. His trust was strengthened, and it was nourished. And when we celebrate the sacraments, our own faith, in some mysterious way, our own faith in our Heavenly Father is strengthened. It's nourished. We're reminded of what Christ has done for us. We're reminded of his crucified body, his shed blood. We're reminded again and again of his gracious promises to us in his word. And we understand more clearly the promise of the gospel. Through these holy signs and seals, our loving Father demonstrates an extra measure of grace to his slow-learning children. So through the sacraments, God comes to us, confirms, he strengthens our faith. And so when we celebrate the sacrament of baptism like we just did, it should remind us of our own baptism, God's gracious promise to each one of us in Jesus Christ. I pray that we've all responded to that promise. And I pray that the faith that's present in your life is not simply a faith that you have because that's what your parents believed, but because you own it as truth for your life. And I pray that God will use his little church here in Mount Vernon, Washington, to help strengthen you in your faith. And as we walk this journey of life together, may we always be striving to strengthen and nourish the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. That's what healthy churches do. They encourage and cultivate a deep love for Jesus. So may we use the gifts that God has blessed us with to help Bailey, little Garrett, and all of us together to grow in our faith. May we be like that father in our opening illustration, trustworthy and honorable. So we strive to feed others with the truth of God's holy word. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.